Back out of here on the Fan, Spencer German, Daryl Ryder, filling in for Ken and Lima this morning. And we have our first guest of the show as we get you closer and closer and count you down to Browns training camp. It starts on Wednesday. The excitement is palpable. I can feel it in the air here in downtown Cleveland, especially from Daryl Ryder. He can't wait for this four-man competition at quarterback.
I am just, I can't wait.
We go out to the fan hotline and we'll find out how excited John Doss, News Channel 5, is about this four-man quarterback competition. John, I think I'm finally talking to you at a time where I don't think you're traveling, so that's exciting.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm not excited to be up at 8:20.
Did we wake you up?
There's only two things that I get up this early for. It's to get my kids ready for school or to play golf. So this shows how much I like the two of you.
I appreciate that.
We appreciate you taking one for the team here.
I literally woke up. I had an alarm set for 8:15. I woke up 5 minutes.
Oh, so you do what I do when I join the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lyman at 8:20 every Monday and Friday. Set the alarm for 8:15.
And then they ask you a question like, hey, were you? I don't know if you were listening beforehand. And you were like, no, I wasn't listening beforehand.
I was sleeping.
There is an entire population of people that work at News 5 that I have never met, and I've worked there for 7.5 years, and it is the morning show people.
There's no, like, office Christmas party where you, like, actually get to meet them out in the wild at all? You've never met them?
Not in 2025, Spencer.
That's fair. Yeah, COVID did change a lot of that stuff. John Doss joining us on the show. John, we were just talking about it before you came on. I don't expect you to have heard it because you were sleeping. Is there an outcome to this quarterback battle, quarterback competition, that appeases the fan base the most and isn't quite as divisive?
No.
That's what Daryl said.
Look, you know that you can either be bad or you can be uninteresting. Both of them are not good. At least the Browns will be bad and interesting, I think. And maybe they catch us off guard and Joe Flacco catches lightning in a bottle like he did a couple of years ago, and they're successful. They challenge for a postseason spot, maybe not even make a postseason spot. But this will be nothing if it's not interesting, because I do believe we will see all four of these quarterbacks starting at some point during the season, because I think this is more of an informative season than people want to believe. And I know that that's hard to say before they've even kicked off training camp. But I think that the writing is on the wall, both for fans and for this organization, that the reason we're going to see all four of these guys is because it's not going to be a very successful season.
John, I have contended that it's a little unrealistic to expect Dillon Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders to win this quarterback competition, just because, like, the reality is they're third and fifth round picks. That's no disrespect to either one of those kids, but, like, neither one were drafted with franchise quarterback in mind. Like, they're both projects for the Browns, and that's why I argue this isn't a four-man competition, it's a two-man. Somebody's getting voted off the island, either Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett. They seem to really love Kenny Pickett, and they feel like they can fix him. Do you believe that, setting aside what happened in Pittsburgh in some of the ugliest offensive football you'll ever watch, that Kevin Stefanski, Tommy Rees, and the offensive coaching staff can fix Kenny Pickett and turn him into something?
Well, don't forget, we've seen some of the ugliest offensive football you can watch right here.
Yes, this is
a different quarterback over the last couple of years, too. So, but we've also seen Kevin Stefanski with good veteran quarterbacks that understand how to run his system have immediate success. We saw it obviously with Flacco. We saw it with Jameis Winston before he started throwing the ball to the other team a bunch. I do believe that they can turn Kenny Pickett around. I don't know that they can turn him into a top 15 quarterback in the NFL, which is the big question. But to your point, they at least see a longer runway with Kenny Pickett. Joe Flacco may be able to go out there and have success for this team the first quarter of the season, the first half of the season, heck, maybe even the entirety of the season. But he is aging. He is old, and I feel comfortable saying that because I, too, am old.
As am I.
He's got more runway. He's got more runway with Kenny Pickett. And you know what? I like a little bit of bravado from a coach and a play caller to be able to say, I'm so good at this, that this guy that was cast away out of Pittsburgh who had a terrible offensive coordinator there, and then backed up a team that won the Super Bowl. I'm so good at what I do that I can turn him around.
John Doss.
Is it going to be true? Oh. I don't know.
John Doss, news, sports director, News Channel 5, joining us here on the show. Obviously, the rookie quarterbacks are going to be the center of attention. We know, John. But which of the rookies do you think is going to be under maybe the most pressure in year one, whether they play immediately or they play later? Like, once they're out there on the field, who maybe is going to experience the most pressure, you think, to succeed and perform?
Well, I think maybe Quinshon Judkins, for many reasons, if we see him play football this year. I think that he already had big shoes to fill with the departure of Nick Chubb, and now with the off-the-field issues, that's magnified. I would say Caleb Schlesinger. I think that that linebacker position has been a question mark since I've been here for the last 7 years. You had the best linebacker you've had in this building in decades, and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. He's not coming back. He leaves a major void there. Contrary to what Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski tell us, they had an idea that that was going to be the case when they drafted Schlesinger. And from everything I've heard, this guy's been awesome so far in rookie minicamp. And we'll see if he can continue to do that, because if Schlesinger is not good, that entire linebacking core is not good again.
John, what is going to be for this to be, I guess, you used the term interesting. When you look at this upcoming season, what has to happen outside of the whole quarterback carousel we're expecting to watch for this season to be interesting, compelling for Browns fans if they're not able to win a lot?
I think if the young guys play well, and it is going to be interesting. I tell people that this preseason coming up on News 5 will be our most watched preseason ever. Even back in 2018 when Baker was here, because you're going to get entire halves of Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. And people are going to dial in to watch that. But I think if you see the young guys, if you see Mason Graham that you used a first-round pick, an early first-round pick on, look like a guy that can anchor that defensive line alongside Myles Garrett for a decade. I don't know if Miles is playing for another decade, but Mason can be around for a long, long time. If Schlesinger looks good, if at least one, if not both, depending on the future of Judkins, these running backs look good, I think that's something that going forward with those two early first-round picks next year could energize a fan base. Because, let's be honest, there are far too many questions on this team at the moment to see this team pushing for at least a wild card spot. So you're going to have to pick those little things. You're going to have to look at the job that Andrew Berry did at the draft in April and see things trending in the right direction.
Again, John Doss joining us on the Fan Hotline. Sort of off of that, John, we know the quarterbacks are going to steal the show. You talked about it. It's going to be the main reason people tune into these preseason games. Is there a non-quarterback storyline that you're most interested in sort of following over the course of the next month or so leading up to the season?
Oh, I think there's a ton of great storylines. That's why I say, like, they may not be very good this year, but they are going to be intriguing. I think there's a storyline at every position group. I think the only thing that we feel like we have a good grasp on is the secondary. And even still, as MJ Emerson, the player that he was last year, the player that he was 2 years ago, every other position group, we mentioned linebacker, we mentioned defensive line. What's this offensive line going to do? They took a major step back. Yes, injuries were an issue and have been the last couple of years, but they took a major step back without Callahan in that offensive line room. And then, of course, the running backs, quarterbacks, receiver. I mean, there are questions in every single position group, which for the most part would be terrifying as a fan and as somebody covering the team, right? But I think in a year where you got a lot of young pieces, you got a lot of turnover, and you've got an eye towards next year's draft, next April, I think it makes for an interesting season.
Is Mason Graham the least talked about top five draft pick ever?
Yes. And I think he probably loves it that way. I know Kevin Stefanski loves it that way. I think, and that doesn't that set him up for success? Because we have the most talked about fifth round pick of all time.
John, along those lines with Shador and being as talked about as he is, is it admirable to you that a guy that is, like, he's a fifth round pick right now. He hasn't earned anything. If he's going to win the starting job, it's going to be because he truly goes out and like dazzles and wins the job. But he's still going out and doing these things in the community. He's like, he is since day one he stepped in. It's like he's already walking the walk of a franchise quarterback. And so from that standpoint, I think that's something that the Browns should feel really excited about, because if he does hit, he's already got that other stuff taken care of. When all his other teammates are on vacations and all this different stuff, like he's in Northeast Ohio, he's impacted the community, he's going to high schools and working out. I don't know. I was sort of captivated by the fact that in a town where this city's longed for a franchise quarterback for so long, you have a guy who's come in and is at least checking off a lot of the off-field boxes that people are looking for. And now, yes, it does just come down to, can he do it on the field?
I love this kid. I said last night that even if he's not a good quarterback, even if he never plays in a game for this organization, the Browns should hire him in the PR department because he knows what he's doing, and it's genuine. And all of the on-the-field things, he's got a long way to go. I think people look at a couple of passes on Twitter and say that the guy should be a starting quarterback in the NFL, when that is just a small percentage of what goes into being a starting quarterback in the NFL. There's so much that he has to grow in, and he knows that. He's got to grow in the film room. He's got to grow in preparation. But you're right. All of the things that he has done so far, from the time this kid got to town, he was at high schools. Right, we see him out in the community. What he did at the Garden Valley Apartments, which, you know, underwent a terrible experience earlier this year, and to see those kids and even the adults light up when he showed up and spent the entire day with them, that's what it's all about. That's when I look at guys like Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward and Donovan Mitchell in this town, players that get it, that understand that they have a true role within this community. And what them just showing up means to people in this town. And Shador got it right away. So, you know, there are many reasons why hitting on a fifth-round quarterback, becoming a franchise quarterback, is great for an organization. But I'm rooting for this guy even more now than I was before because of the things that we've seen him do outside.
100% agree with you, John. I want to go back to Junkins just for a second here, more so from a football perspective. Who carries the mantle? If he's not available, which I think that's a fair assumption, he's not going to be available at the beginning of the season. Who fills the shoes as the bell cow back until he's allowed to play football?
It's a good question, man, and I think that's something that we're going to have to figure out here in a couple of weeks. Obviously, they liked Samson enough to draft him. They didn't like him as much as they liked Judkins,
right?
Jerome Ford is still there, right? Jerome Ford has shown capability in this offense the last couple of seasons with Nick Chubb out. So my guess is it's maybe Jerome Ford early on with the knowledge that we start moving some of these younger guys into place. It's going to really depend on Samson, right? How good is Samson in training camp? Does he look ready? But it's also, you know, Daryl, if this offensive line doesn't get it together and find what they had a couple of years ago, it's not really going to matter who the running back is.
That's true. The line is older. Unfortunately, it's not been healthy in recent years. But we've seen where they've been able to patch it, and I don't know that they're going to be able to patch that line in order to be as effective as they want to be in this. Which I'm calling it, they're going back to the Baker offense, right? More tight ends, more running backs, short, quick slant throws, get the ball out of the quarterback's hands. I think that's what we're going to see this year, John, don't you?
It is to be expected. Who among us is not older and less healthy than we were before?
That's a good way to put it. Very good way to put it. That's all we have on the show. Sports director, News Channel 5, John Doss, giving us a nice look into the Cleveland Browns here leading up to training camp on Wednesday. John, I don't know if you're somebody who can lay back down and actually fall back asleep. I know I am. My wife struggles with that. But if you are, we will let you go get some more sleep now.
My wife and kids are in California. I'm already up. I'm going to the golf course.
I was going to say.
So we did you a favor. We got you up early so you can get to your tee time on time. There we go.
Yeah, right. You did me a big favor.
He's John Doss. John, appreciate the time as always, my man. Thank you.
All right, boys.
It's
Stay out of the rough, stay out of the sand.